day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. The last time we got together, we finished up chapter 3. And tonight we continue on chapter 4. If this is your first time tuning in, we invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can be able to listen to the whole series of 1 John as we go verse by verse, scripture by scripture, looking at these wonderful topics that we see in this book. You can also visit us on our Facebook page where we weekly post up the broadcast from the previous week. We can also subscribe to iTunes where you can automatically receive a download of our podcast each and every week, or you can easily download the app. Just go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and just look for Radio Redemption and Power. The app is absolutely free, so you can be able to listen to the program at your convenience. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Feel free to send us your prayer requests, questions, or concerns. Or you can contact us at 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we are grateful for everything that you do in our lives daily, Lord. Today, Father, we are here to give you thanks, Father, for all the breakthroughs that you've given us this week in our jobs, in our family, and in our health. And Father, we pray that tonight that you may use us through our circumstances to be able to be used by you to declare your wonderful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Blessed Messiah, returning King, unto you do I sing. Messiah, Adonai Elohim, Yeshua HaMashiach. Adonai Elohim,
Selah.
You are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords, you are the one my heart is waiting for. Yeshua, blessed Messiah, HaMashiach, returning King. Unto you do I see.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and we continue this wonderful study in this very important book. After all, the Apostle John was the last living apostle, and I think this letter of 1 John is so important, and especially knowing that he was the last apostle. He writes in here some very pertinent, some very relevant topics to the things that we're seeing and we're dealing with today. It's a book that emphasizes the power of grace, yet also emphasizes the responsibility that we have as believers through access to that grace. The ability to be able to overcome sin, the ability to be able to be an overcomer. And in fact, this chapter that we're getting into is a very pivotal chapter, and especially with the things that we're seeing going on today in the church. And if this is your first time tuning in to Radio Redemption and Power, this is your first time listening, joining into this study, a little bit of background in this book. We see that this book was written by the Apostle John. And what's so special about the Apostle John is that he walked with Jesus during his ministry. He's the writer of the Gospel of John, the Gospel that is very different to all the other three Gospels. And because we see that John was able to see something else that many of the apostles were not able to see. In fact, he was the one that wrote the book of Revelation, that he received from Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he was able to see into the future. He was able to see Jesus Christ coming and conquering and establishing his kingdom upon the earth. And when we read this letter, we see that it's a letter that's filled with so much encouragement. It's filled with warning. It's a very family orientated. When he speaks and he writes to the church, he speaks to the church as a father, as a loving father. We have in here messages that are so powerful, but yet the way that John delivers them, because he does it in a way that you truly see that he cares about the church, that he cares about the reader, that you receive it and it encourages your life. And this is a book of encouragement. We need this book in this time. So many people are suffering. So many people are experiencing oppression, experiencing heaviness, experiencing all types of tribulation. And the Bible tells us, in fact, in the book of John, Jesus says that in this world we shall have tribulation, but he has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. And this book is about being an overcomer and how we overcome in Christ. In fact, the whole New Testament is about that. But this book is very special in that it focuses on that, on being an overcomer. And tonight we start on chapter 4 of 1 John. And right away, this chapter starts out in a manner that is very deep, that is very powerful, with a very stern warning, especially to Christians today. And in the verse, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The very first thing that John says, he says, "Beloved." And that means that you are loved. You are loved by God. God loves his people. And that he shows us in the fact that God gave his only son so that we could be his adopted children. And he shows us his love in that each and every day he admonishes us and he is bringing us into the image of his son Jesus. And the warning here, it says, do not believe every spirit. Believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. When the disciples come before Jesus, and you see this throughout the Gospels, and they ask him, what are the signs of the last days? Out of all the things that Jesus mentions, what he mentions the most is deception. Is deception. The greatest sign today that shows us that we are living in the last days is the regression of Christians going back into fallacies, into lies. The greatest sign that we are in the last days is the amount of lies that many Christians are believing. Deception is so rampant that not only do we get the warning from Jesus, but when we saw the study in the book of 1 Timothy, the Holy Spirit gives us a clear and a direct prophecy regarding the last days. And I'll read that again. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it goes in line with this verse that we're reading tonight in 1 John. And the scripture says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving or lying spirits and doctrines of devils." Doctrines of devils. The Holy Spirit clearly and expressly says that in the last days many will depart, many will become apostates. They will fall away, giving themselves over to lying spirits and doctrines of devils and demons. Brothers and sisters, if there is any time of great peril, if there is any time where the Christian needs to exercise the most discernment, is especially today. And especially if you're a Christian that hungers after God. Because what the devil wants to do is that he not only does he want to deceive you, but he especially wants to deceive those that truly have a heart after God so that that fire can be put out. He says, "Believe not every spirit. Test them." Test them. And what does that word test mean? The word test means to distinguish between real or genuine and counterfeit. To test between genuine and counterfeit. Whether something is true or whether it's a phony. Brothers and sisters, the Bible exhorts us to test things. Prove all things. The Bible says, test all things. But it's very sad when we see that leaders or preachers or teachers, they become offended when someone questions their doctrine, when someone is curious to know how they came about that conclusion. And the way to avoid these things is to preach what the Word of God says. Preach what the Word of God says. Preach the Word. A person that preaches the Word doesn't have to be afraid of scrutiny. If Paul the Apostle, who was a man that had more knowledge than probably any living person today regarding the scriptures, regarding the faith. The Bible says that when the Bereans went to look in the scriptures, the Bible calls them noble. They were more noble than the ones of Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures to see if those things were true. And if Paul was not offended by that, why is it that you have today men and women that will be loyal to a man even if their doctrine is contrary to the scriptures? See, one of the interesting things here is that John doesn't just say, test every person or every doctrine, but he says, test the spirits. When you think about spirit, it is the basic essence of something, of a person, of a thing. When you say, you know, when someone says something like the spirit of adultery, it doesn't necessarily have to mean a living spirit, but it can speak about that inner desire that a person has to commit that sin. It's what it's about. It's speaking about an intention. It's speaking about something that you cannot perceive right away. It's almost, it's like the root of a tree that it's underground. You cannot see it, but it is what brings life to the rest of that tree. It's what is connected to it. It's the root of an issue. I believe that here John is speaking about specifically demonic spirits, lying spirits. But I believe that it can also be applied to the essence of what a preacher or a ministry is about. And we're going to see later on what I mean by that. What a ministry should revolve around, because the Bible shows us that Jesus is the foundation of the Christian faith. He is what everything stands upon. And whenever a ministry or a movement stands upon anything else other than Jesus, there is a great problem, and more than likely they open themselves up to deception. We are to test whether those spirits are of God. Because not everybody that speaks, that says that they, not everybody that expounds a truth necessarily means that it's from God. And the problem that's going on today is because so few people know the Bible, know what the Word of God says, that we shiver at the authority when somebody says that what they're saying is coming from God. Because we value more the experience than what God has established in His Word. I want to read to you a portion of Scripture that I believe goes with what John is saying here. And that's found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And I think it's a very valuable lesson of why it is that we should exercise discernment, that above all things that we should ask the Holy Spirit to not only give us the gift of prophecy, but to give us the gift of discernment. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, Paul comes across a young woman who the Bible says is filled with the spirit of divination. The spirit of Python, the scripture, the Greek says. And I want to read this, and I want to touch on a few points on why it's so important, why we should exercise discernment. And look what the scripture says. And it says, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or fortune-telling. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Paul, and I believe it was Barnabas, they come across a young woman who's demonically possessed with the spirit of divination. She was like a psychic, a fortune teller. And what she says was true. They were servants of God, and they were preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet Paul discerned that this was not coming from anything else than an unclean spirit. And we see how subtle and how deceptive Satan can be, in that even things that are true can come forth from a demonic spirit. And what concerns me, brothers and sisters, is that this type of circumstance can be happening in modern churches where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not proclaimed fully, where people care more about experiences than they do about the truth. I remember hearing this testimony about, I don't remember exactly who's the person that said it, but it was about an experience that this woman who was a witch, she went into this church that's very popular in the West Coast, and she went in to receive prophecy. And the woman says that she went in and that one of the individuals from there prophesied to her, and they told her that God is very pleased with, and that God's going to prosper her. And this was a woman who was a practicing witch. And what we're seeing is that there is such a hunger for experience that people are not listening to the Spirit of God. There's other spirits that have infiltrated the church. Because how can the Spirit of God tell a woman who is in the occult, who is violating the God's commandments, who has not trusted in Jesus, that she's all right? It is the infiltration of demonic spirits. A lot of these practices that are going on in the church are practices that you see in Hindus, are practices that exist in the pagan world that are not of God. And we are to test them, to see whether it is God. Here, Paul comes across a woman who spoke the truth, but yet it was coming from a spirit of Python, of divination. And I believe this is one of the spirits that has really gripped a portion of Christians, because they care more about going and finding experience rather than having an intimate relationship with God. A person who is walking intimately with God, a person who is seeking the Lord daily in their life, does not need to go from church to church seeking for a word, because the Holy Spirit will lead that person. The Holy Spirit will speak to that person. And that doesn't mean that God cannot use someone else to give you a message, because God often uses the body of Jesus Christ, often uses the church to bring a word of encouragement. See, the gift of prophecy in the New Testament is to exhort, to encourage, to strengthen the faith of the individual receiving it. But it's not to go like if you're going to a psychic reading. Demonic spirits have infiltrated the church. I do not say that. The Bible says it. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. And here John tells us that there are many false spirits. And those false spirits, those lying spirits, are connected to false prophets. He says to try them whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Amen. Brother Javer just talked a little bit about chapter 4 of 1 John. And here we have a couple of things that I want us to look. And the first thing that it calls us to do is to test the spirits, to see whether they are from God. Now, first of all, we need to understand that there are different spirits. There's a spirit from Christ, and there are evil spirits. So what Pastor Javer was just mentioning is something that a lot of us need to understand and comprehend, because, you know, a lot of us are looking at individuals, but it's not the individual that does anything, it's the spirit that's in the individual. You know, there's a lot of times, and, you know, I remember when I first came to Christ, I had a problem because I thought that people who refused to accept Jesus Christ were just mean individuals. And until I started to get involved with witchcraft and, you know, the deliverance of witchcraft, I was able to understand that a lot of these people weren't bad people. A lot of these people were dominated by evil spirits. And these evil spirits caused them to do things that they did not want to do. And what we have here, a lot of times, brothers and sisters, is we have people who are being led not by God, but by devils. And it's no wonder why devils have infiltrated our church. It's no wonder why our doctrine, the doctrine of our God, has changed. Why we have so much varieties of the Bible around the world. And the reason for that, brothers and sisters, is because these spirits, their job is to destroy and alter the work of God. Their job is to pull us away from God. So therefore, the first calling of our brother John here is to test the spirit. How do we test the spirit? What are we supposed to do? How can we know when somebody's telling us the truth or something false? Well, brothers and sisters, God brings us back to his word. Everything that they say, we need to compare with the word of God. Now, I want you to understand one other thing. This is not, you know, because a lot of people say, well, we know that when the devil comes, you know, he's going to deceive a lot of people. But there's a key word that doesn't only apply to the devil. Here it says, whether they are from God. So it's talking about multiple spirits that are at work. And these individuals, they're used to prophesy falsely things that God never said. And that's what we have in churches, people prophesying who the next president is going to be of certain countries, and they don't come out. Listen, when God said something, it's going to happen. There is no change to the outcome. So if you have a prophet that tells you in 2016 the world's going to end and the world's still here, listen, don't stay with that guy. I mean, Brother Javer just spoke about people in churches nowadays, and he said, well, I can't understand why they stay there. Well, I can't understand either, because if I'm in a church and I'm reading the Bible, and the Bible tells me that a prophet says what he hears from God, and then all of a sudden this guy says something that the world's going to end, for example, at 2016, or a certain president is going to come out, and he doesn't come out, well, brothers and sisters, you need to check. You need to check who this guy really is. Because that is a definite key to tell you that the guy's a false prophet. And he's working with these deceiving spirits to deceive the church. And you also will see that when you have people who use prophecy as a way to acquire money. Because there's no difference between them and fortune tellers. That's what they do. They tell you what you want to hear. So we have to be very careful, brothers and sisters, and get back to the word of God. Stop following men. Start seeking God and letting him lead us.
Amen. Amen. Brother Lewis is right. The way that we are able to tell whether it's a spirit from God or not is by the scriptures. It's not by feeling. You look at some of the experiences that the leaders of false religions have experienced, and it's quite possible that those experiences were real. You have Muhammad, who said that he was visited by Gabriel. You have the Mormon leader. that he said that he was also visited by an angel and he was given golden tablets. And it's quite possible that those experiences were real. But what makes it real, what makes it true, it's not that it was real, it's not that it was tangible, is whether it's from God or not. It's not whether the experience was real. It's whether it was really God that did it. And one of the things that Paul says, he says, if an angel or anybody else preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. And in fact, this is where John is going to get to. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, by this you know, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, to understand what John is speaking about here, it's also important to understand a little bit about history, about what was going on in the church. You see, the greatest opposition that was going on at this time were the Gnostics. And the issue wasn't whether Jesus was God, but whether God was able to become a man. And we see that John was the one that wrote in the book of John. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in the beginning of the Gospel of John, he speaks about the Word becoming flesh. And what he's speaking about here is the doctrine of the incarnation. You see, the doctrine of the incarnation is so integral to God's completed work, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To say that God became a man and came and dwelt among us and died for us on the cross. And that's what he's speaking about, that God became a man and that he paid for the penalty of sin as a man in the flesh, died as a man, was buried and resurrected on the third day in the flesh. He's speaking about the centrality of the gospel. And you look at the religions that exist today, they all say that Jesus was a good philosopher, a great teacher, but they don't accept him as God. They don't accept him as the Messiah, as the God became a man, taking on human form. They don't receive that. They don't believe that. And it is so central to the gospel message. And that's what it's about. It is about the gospel message, the centrality of Jesus Christ. If you listen to a message and that message is enticing you into materialism, that is a message that is that is not putting forth Christ. Brothers and sisters, you have today leaders of churches that don't even believe in the virgin birth. These are teachings that are so essential to the finished plan of God. And what they're basically saying, a person that is denying this is basically saying that God's plan wasn't complete. There's some that don't believe in the physical resurrection of Christ, that they believe that it's just an allegory that speaks about our spiritual resurrection. But no, it was a physical event. And look at what he says in the next verse. It says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. He says that those who do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, not only is it not of God, but it is the spirit of Antichrist. We spoke about Antichrist a couple of weeks ago, and we invite you to listen to that recording. We're not going to get into that same discussion, but there's so much to be said about Antichrist. And here's important. If you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that God became a man, and that he died for your sins, that he resurrected at the third day, and you really believe this, you really confess it, you really proclaim it, are you living in a way that honors him? Are you not only confessing it with your mouth, but are you confessing it with your life? Or do you live your life as if God doesn't exist, as if that it didn't matter whether that happened or not? Because if we truly believe that he died for our sins, that he's not only our Savior, but he's also our Lord. One of the things the Bible speaks about in the book of Romans, that before we were enslaved to sin, but now we're slaves of righteousness. Is there something inside of you that just burns in your heart when you do something wrong, when you know you did something that you shouldn't have? That something inside of you is telling you, man, I cannot feel comfortable knowing that I did that. I cannot be in peace knowing that I did that. And you feel that you've become distant from God, and you cannot rest until you confess that sin to the Lord. Because that's what happens to a Christian. A Christian who is walking with God, who's been changed and transformed by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, my son, my daughter, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. And he brings conviction upon our hearts. I'm not saying what it is you should or shouldn't do. The Holy Spirit will lead you, and he will tell you what is wrong. And when you do so, you will not be able to be in peace until you repent. Because truly, the real peace is being in fellowship with Christ, being in fellowship with God. And it is the spirit of Antichrist that denies the incarnation, denies that God will fulfill his word. And ultimately, that's what the spirit of Antichrist says. It calls God a liar. Because all through the Old Testament, it was prophesied that God will come in the flesh, that Jehovah will come, Emmanuel, God with us, will come and dwell among his people. I remember one time I had a conversation with an individual who's the Jewish religion, and you talk to a Jew, and the greatest difficulty that they have is believing that God can become a man. They cannot believe it. They cannot accept it. But yet we look at Genesis 18, and the Bible says that Jehovah, Yahweh, as a man, came down, and he had lunch with Abraham. Read it, Genesis chapter 18. And I believe that God put that early on, and he put that in the Old Testament so that we could understand that the living and eternal God can become a man. You know, when you look at all these false religions, and you look at the myths of the Greeks, and you look at how all these false gods that the false religions worship, and there's always this separation between them, but yet we see the true God, the true living God of the Bible. He came and he experienced hunger. He, as a man, he experienced what it is to be tired. As a man, he experienced rejection. As a man, he experienced having lack. And in the incarnation, we're able to see God's love. It is so integral to God's redemptive plan and the centrality of the gospel and one who confesses Christ. Then I believe that in these last days, especially with this warning, and especially when the spirit of Antichrist becomes more and more prevalent, it's quite possible that the incarnation will be brought into questioning by other Christians. Who knows? But I believe that this warning in here, in 1 John chapter 4, is a very explicit one, and I believe that it is relevant today.
Amen. Let's take a look at a scripture here that defines it all pretty well. And this is found in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 38. And it says, "But if I do them, even though you do not believe in me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Now we're going to look at one more scripture, and that's found in John 8:24. And this is what the Word of God says. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will indeed die. Now let's take a look at the scripture that Pastor Javer just spoke about. And this is found in 1 John 4:2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, a lot of us, if we're told Satanists, we automatically say, those are the Antichrist. Those are the people that are against God. But what a lot of us don't understand, brothers and sisters, that it's not only the Satanists that we have problems with. Like Brother Javer just mentioned, some of the Jews don't accept Jesus Christ either. Brother Lewis, but you know, these people were the chosen people. It's not about if they're the chosen people or not. It's about the Messiah came for them. And you could actually reject the Messiah, just like you and I could reject Christ. Because Christ came here, and he came here to give us free will. We have a decision, brothers, to serve him. We have a decision to accept him. And we also have we can make a decision and say, listen, we don't want you. And this is what we're talking about. But let's take a look at some other religion, other spirits that are against Christ as well. Jehovah's Witnesses. Whoa, I thought they were Christians. But they don't believe that Jesus is God. So what does it say here? It says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that doesn't acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So, in other words, they don't acknowledge that Jesus is God. Now watch this. You have the Buddhist. A lot of people look at the Buddhist and they say, well, you know, it's kind of cool because you meditate, you know, and you chant and you know, you get to talk to God. Is that really God? Are you really talking to God? Does the Bible refer to Buddha as God? No, it says it's Jesus. Hinduism, same thing. They're following idols. Islam, same thing. Every spirit that doesn't acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't mean to hurt anybody, but God has called me to tell you the truth. You're lost. You need to turn. You need to change. You need to repent. And you need to come to Christ.
Amen. And I think that this is so important as we're seeing that one of the ways that the New World Order and the new false religion, the Whore of Babylon, will unite all these religions is by the denial of Jesus Christ's deity. And we know that this is what John is speaking about because he's the one that said flesh. He's speaking about who Jesus is. Jesus Christ, when he speaks to the Pharisees in the book of John, and he says, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, yet they are they which testify of me. When we read the word of God, we're reading the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So when there's a denial of Jesus, of the biblical Jesus, because there's a new age Jesus, there is a false Jesus. The Bible speaks about preaching another Jesus, one whose character is not in line from who we see in the scriptures. That is another Jesus, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. And in fact, we see that John gives this emphasis again on that, Antichrist. This is not just an individual or a person that is going to come upon the scene, but it is a spirit that exists in many people today. You speak about Jesus, and there's such a great aversion, there's a hatred, it's that spirit of deception. And we're going to see that there is a spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And many are falling, many people that call themselves Christians are falling into the spirit of error because they blindly follow a man and do not follow the scriptures. I'm not saying that every single leader, preacher or minister is going to be able to know every doctrine perfectly. But when it comes to the gospel and to the centrality of the gospel in every ministry, because the gospel is not just a teaching. You see, and that's what the mistake that we make. Oh, well, you know, that person, they say that they believe in, in that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he resurrected and that's the teaching of the gospel. But the gospel is not only learned intellectually. We experience it. It is part of our sanctification. We carry the cross. We die daily. It is not only the means of salvation, but it's also the means of sanctification. And it is also the center of what should inspire the church to move and to do what it's called to do. When we read the story of Martha and Mary, and we see that Martha was so busy trying to serve Jesus and the disciples, but she neglected what was most important, that Jesus says, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part. She has chosen to sit down at the feet, that the centrality of Jesus, the relationship, the intimacy with Christ comes before anything else. But when you have ministries that emphasize the supernatural and they emphasize the spiritual realm, but they don't emphasize intimacy with Christ, overcoming sin, allowing to be molded into the image of Christ, because ultimately the reason why we're saved is not to do miracles. The reason why we're saved, and I'm not saying that those things are not, that those things are bad, those things are great, they're wonderful. But the main purpose as to why we're saved is that we be conformed to the image of Christ. Look at what he says, what Paul says in Romans 8:29. We'll start at verse 28. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So those that are called according to his purpose, all things work for good. And what is his purpose? Look at what the next verse says. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. For what? What did he predestinate? Those who would come into salvation. And the very first next phrase is to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, there's a purpose why God called you. And he called you not only so that you be saved, not only so that you be declared free and innocent before the throne of God, but that you would look like his son, Jesus. And it's not something that happens overnight. Yes, we are justified right at the moment that we believe. At the moment that you believe in Jesus and what he did for you in the cross of Calvary. The moment that you believe that he resurrected from the dead. Your sins are forgiven. But it is a process to then bring the renewal of the mind so that we are becoming and walking like Jesus. Becoming more like him. Having his character instilled into us. That it is a daily process, and we mature faster the more we relinquish our will over to God. Jesus is Christianity. He is the central message of the Bible.
It doesn't surprise me why Brother John spent so much time teaching us about these spirits. These deceiving spirits and these people of wickedness. And then we see it in the book of Timothy as well. And Paul describes it. And Jesus also talks about it in the book of Matthew and Luke about warning the people. And I start to wonder why the church today is not warning the people about these deceptions and about the coming wrath. Today, when we go to the churches, we're told that we're going to be rich. We're going to achieve everything we want in life. Isn't that what we learn from some secular books that say that if we're positive thinkers, we can achieve certain things? And why do they neglect telling the people the truth, where the Bible warns people more about the dangers lurking ahead? Perhaps it's so that people don't get offended. Perhaps it'll affect their income. And perhaps it is a trick of the devil. And Brother John was so strong towards teaching us these principles because he was the one that was revealed the end times. And what a lot of us don't seem to understand, brothers and sisters, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, is that the Antichrist is going to show up in the church. And what that means is that the people are not going to be aware of who he is until it's too late. See, our church today has become a place of activity. It's a place of fun. It's a place of entertainment rather than a place of equipping the people and preparing them. And once you take the Bible away from the people, they're easily deceived. Adam was in front of God when God told them not forbidden tree. He was given direct order from God not to, but he turned away from God's word and he listened to a lie. And he heard it enough where he and his wife ate from it. He had the power to say no, just like Jesus said when he was tempted in the wilderness, I will not bow down to you. I will not bow down to you. He had the opportunity to tell the devil right there in his face, I will not eat of that fruit because God told me not. But see, words can persuade people. You know, I remember during the times of drugs. Listen, take a little dap here of this. Listen, my dad and mom told me not to do that. Listen, don't worry about it. You know, this is going to get you high. You're going to feel good, man. Come on, try it out. See, all it took was the first toke and then you were hooked. That's how people get hooked to drugs. That's how people get hooked to alcohol. That's how people get addicted to heroin. That's how people get addicted to porn. You just have to take a look and take your sight off of Christ. That's all it takes, brothers and sisters. What are you going to do? And that's the question. Are you going to continue going when you know in your heart that your spirit is tugging in you and telling you the wrong place, that there are things going wrong in that place? It's not my decision. I've already made it. It's yours. Father God, tonight, we thank you for this lesson, Lord. Father, we pray that you will give us discernment and the will to stand up in front of these spirits, Father. And Father, proclaim the truth, Father, no matter what comes out. Father, we are your servants. Use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we have a special friend of ours that is sick, and he's asked us to pray for him. So right now, I'm going to pray for my brother, Justin Falk. Father God, tonight, Lord Jesus, you say when there's two or more in the... Father, we don't know what our brother's symptoms are or what's triggering his sickness. But Father, you said that you died on the cross so you could set us free from sickness. And right now, Lord, we unite and we plead the blood of Jesus over my brother, Justin Fall. And Father, we command every spirit of sickness to leave his body right now. Father, we call on the power of your Holy Spirit and we ask you to make him whole. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you again for listening tonight. We hope that tonight's broadcast has been a blessing to you. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also download the app for Radio Redemption Power for your convenience, either on the App Store or on the Google Play Store. And we also invite you to call us at 305-320-7727 or send us a line at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or on our Facebook page. Thank you again for listening. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Jesus Christ.